This episode is brought to you by the Arvada Center, because they're kicking off their summer concert series in June. Relax under the stars at the Arvada Center's outdoor amphitheater and take in acts like Melissa Etheridge, Big Richard, Tower of Power, Preservation Hall Jazz Band, The Spin Doctors, and so much more. Concerts are scheduled for June through September. You can find a whole schedule of events and get your tickets today at arvadacenter.org. That's arvadacenter.org. Today on CityCast Denver, what kinds of tomatoes should you be planting? What can you grow under a spruce tree? And what do you do if you want to rip out your lawn and start over? We have our resident gardening expert on to solve all your plant problems. Today is Monday, April 29th. I'm Bree Davies, and here's what Denver's talking about. Anne Maria Watt, welcome back to CityCast Denver.
Thank you.
So you're our resident gardening expert. I've refrained from referring to you as our gardening hoe because
I used to have a t-shirt that said that.
Shut up. Because I was like, is that okay? But I also think it's funny. And I also think you are so immersed in garden. Is garden a culture? Could we call it a culture? I don't know. But you're in it.
I'm in it. Yes.
I watch your Instagram and you are like, you are deep in it already this year. What's the status of your garden?
I'm already in over my head. And as I was telling these nice folks before you came in, I actually picked up like a part-time job for a couple months in a garden center.
Nice.
That I just quit this morning.
Well,
so we won't say which one.
Nope.
But I kind of just needed a side job, and then it just turned out to be like
doing
the best job, honestly. I've had a lot of opportunities to garden for someone else lately too. And then just through that, I was like, I kept coming into free plants and bringing
Isn't
them home
funny?
And the cycle just kept repeating itself. So.
But you're like, you've already got your beds going.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
What's your, do you have a tomato status? What are we looking at?
I only killed half of them.
Good job.
But I had 14 to begin with.
Nice.
So I'm still in good shape. And those are all in my cold frame. And then I also have some eggplants going in the cold frame. I have corn and ground cherries and some peppers going on the windowsill.
Wow.
Upstairs in my office, which is turning into like just the plant room now. Like
I'm on Zoom calls. Center.
I'm on Zoom calls with people and I'm like, I swear this isn't like a weed grow in the back. This is okra. This is leeks.
So you're really, it's taken over your whole house.
Some would say it's gotten out of hand.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly why we have you to do this with us every year now. I think this could be an annual thing because we get a lot of questions from folks about how to garden here in Denver. Let's start with our first question from Pam J. She says, I just inherited a home and I don't want to water any more than absolutely necessary. Are there good ground covers to replace the grass in my yard?
Yes. There's like a few different ways you can kind of go about this.
Okay.
So if you want more like, if you want grass that is more water efficient, you can replace what you have with like a native grass. And that's buffalo grass or blue grama grass, which do better in our drier summer weather. If you want like an alternative to grass, there's a lot of different things you could try. What I'm actually doing at home now is the thyme lawn. I'm like experimenting with it.
What is this?
So you can get a variety of thyme. Sometimes it's called like mother of thyme or creeping thyme.
Thyme like the herb.
Like the herb, yeah.
Okay.
But this one's not so much for culinary use. I mean, you can use it for this if you want.
But it's the same family.
Yes. But you'll plant it and they'll kind of form like big mats. And they'll replenish themselves every year. They're evergreen.
Oh.
And when it starts to get hotter, they'll flower. So it'll look really nice. You just got to be careful because they can handle like some foot traffic, not tons.
Maybe if you have a grassy area that even is not where the walkway is, it's the best.
Well, how I'm doing it is I have like a patch of my front yard area and I am planting them in between like pavers. So they'll spread out and kind of cover the edges of the pavers and then I can
still
step on those.
To walk.
Yeah. So you could do that. And that's also a bit more drought tolerant for Colorado's weather. There's also, I think I recommend CSU Extension like every time I'm on here.
It's an awesome resource, to be honest with you.
Great resource.
I look at it and I don't even do the gardening part and I end up on that website. So they have something for everyone.
Oh, yeah. But they have a full list of recommended xeriscaping ground covers. And xeriscaping, if you don't know, is water-wise gardening. So it's a lot of drought-tolerant plants, but also hard landscaping like, you know, pebbles or pavers, things like that. If you don't know what that looks like, there's a lot of places for you to go around the metro and see what it looks like. So there's a ton of xeriscaping in use all around the Botanic Gardens, Denver Botanic Gardens. And then Denver Water, the utility, actually operates a bunch of like demo xeriscape gardens around the metro that you can go visit.
Oh, no way.
And they actually have classes and workshops to teach you how to do it yourself. So that would be the most water-wise way.
But I like this idea. We'll put a link in the show notes so folks can go see, because I think sometimes it's hard to picture what that looks like, right?
Yeah, and not you tell just people like grass. Rocks, and they're like, oh,
just
ugly.
Gravel, or but it's way more than that.
It could be so pretty. Like when I used to live in Congress Park, there's some really beautiful xeriscaping on people's front lawns. Like the people closest to the gardens, I think, model themselves after the gardens.
Smart.
But yeah, you could do a lot of really beautiful things with xeriscaping, and it will definitely keep that water bill down.
This one's from Catherine. She says, our backyard is super shady. She has raised garden beds built, but she can't seem to rip out the trees. There's too much. She can't get rid of the shade. She wants to know what she has to do to have a successful garden, or like what is even happening, and if there are specific vegetables that might grow best in the shade or throughout the whole summer.
Okay. So the thing is, a lot of shade might actually be a huge asset here in Colorado, where the summers get so dry and sometimes really windy. You might actually have a really great environment for growing certain kinds of vegetables who like that, depending on how much shade. Like if you're talking about an area that's a total darkness all day long, you might be out of luck. But even if you have some partial sunlight, you can grow things like the list that I just made that I can't find. You can grow things like lettuces, spinaches, kale, radishes, peas, carrots, beets, root vegetables. And some of these, like especially like radishes and lettuce, you might only have like a few weeks left to do this because they're sort of cooler season crops, but they come in really fast. And they're some of like the first crops you can grow here.
So it might be a plan even for next year. She can think ahead and say there are, you know,
there totally
lettuces and root vegetables that work.
With lettuce and with radishes, I mean, you can be planting that all season long because of how quickly they come in.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. So radishes, you can get them within 7 to 10 days, I think. So you can be succession planting those all season long. You can get your lettuces all season long. If you want to set it and forget it, you could plant like perennial kales and have those come back on their own next year.
Ooh.
So yeah, there is a ton you can do with the shade. I actually have the opposite problem. I have like no shade and not a single tree on my property. And it is the thing I deal with all the time.
That's brutal.
Yeah, all my plants are just getting roasted.
Oh, have you guys done any of the like the free tree stuff?
So we tried to do it actually during the pandemic. So we had somebody come and like do the site visit, and then they came back to us and they were like, we're sorry, supply chain. We ran out of trees entirely. So I haven't tried since then, but I think I might this year.
I was like, you should. If you're planning on being here a while, we planted some smaller trees because we know eventually the bigger trees are going to be on their way out.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Next question is Pamela G. This one is similar about light, but this is actually for indoor growing. Pamela G says, what grow light do you recommend if your condo doesn't get enough light? So what are you using in that grow of yours where you're growing okra?
So the first thing I will say about this, please don't go buy like a cheapy light off of Amazon. Those things will maybe last for like a year and you really get what you pay for. Like anything that connects with a USB, don't bother. I actually went to Home Depot and I got a feet electric light, and they're great. I bought one last year. I was really happy with it. I actually went out and bought a second one this year. They interconnect, like they come with a cord to like network them all.
So you can grow it if you do a smaller planting this year, next year.
If you fall victim to the temptation like I do, you could just keep expanding. And they're on timers. They have different lights for germination versus plants. They're great. But yeah, I would really recommend like spending some money on one instead of getting like a cheap guy.
This is a worthwhile investment.
It is. Yeah. I will say I've heard of people doing germination using those LED strips. Like sometimes people get them for like their gaming setup or something.
Totally, yes.
Yeah, and I haven't tried it personally, but I've heard that it's like the same sort of type of light. Like the blue light you can use. I don't know. Somebody should try and get back to me.
But overall, it sounds like this, if you're going to be doing some investment in your gardening, this is totally worth it. It's one of those things.
Yeah, the feet light. And then also I got a great stand for it from City Floral called Leapfrog, which is like an adjustable stand so you can change the height as the plants grow.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Smart. I used to be really against indoor growing. Can you imagine now?
No, not at all based on what I know.
It's too much stuff. It's too much accessories. Now I have all the accessories.
All right. Next question. Jessica W., tomatoes. Have you started them? Sounds like you have. She says she's behind the curve. And most times I buy started plants as the seasons are so short. This year I wanted to try a variety from seed, but I'm just playing with dirt today. Yippee. So sounds like we need some advice on tomatoes.
Okay. In general, because the season is super short here in Colorado, I do also err on the side of growing like cherry tomatoes and smaller guys because they'll mature a lot faster.
Sure.
But every garden center almost in the metro area has an absurd selection of tomatoes because they are like the most popular
plant. It's the thing people like to grow.
People love it. Like I was just at Tagawa Gardens yesterday and it's like a whole side of one of their greenhouses. So there's great selection at Ector's, at Tagawa's, at City Floral. I will say we haven't gotten to the part where we talk about plant sales yet, but hat tip to the Denver Post. I found out that there's like a tomato sale going on Instagram.
No way.
Yeah. So Heidi Dolan of Twine and Trellis is like, I guess, a grower on her own. Like she is part of like the dwarf tomato growing project and all these other, she has like 90 varieties of things.
Whoa.
So you can go to her Instagram, Twine and Trellis, and she's taking pre-orders right now for tomatoes, for chilies, cucumbers. And it looks like she has lots of really cool heirloom, rare, strange varieties. So if that's what you're looking for, I highly recommend checking that out. I've never bought anything from her before, so I might try it out myself this year.
Really quick, before we move on from that, it sounds like there's a wide variety. How would you recommend someone going through, how do you figure out what the kind are you like or you want to grow or what's the right time? I don't know.
That's a good question. I mean, it really depends. Like if you are into gardening and you are into like the experimenting, I love trying out different kinds every year and just like seeing what I like. If you just want the fruit.
Yeah.
Or if you just like know what you want to make with it. A lot of times if you go to these garden centers, they actually could tell you like
what's good for.
Yeah. If you're looking for sauce, you want San Marzano or Romo tomatoes. If you are looking for like sandwiches, you want beefsteak tomatoes. If you are just like salting them and eating them, that's like a matter of preference. You can do like a black crème or there's some of these varieties that are sweeter on the sweeter red side, like Brandywine. I love, my like all-time favorite is the yellow pears. They're like little cherry varieties and they never make it inside my house. They're just like my little treat while I'm outside. But yeah, I will go back to growing the small cherry varieties because it's, you don't get that same level of disappointment.
that's fair.
When you get to the end of the summer and you have like all this green fruit and like it's about to start freezing outside and you need to like bring it in, like that doesn't happen as much with the cherry varieties.
So it's like manage your expectations, figure out what kinds of tomatoes you're looking to grow for what purpose.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe check out and try something you've never tried before.
For sure. Yeah, there's a lot of strange ones out there. Like I'm growing one right now that's called Pride of Flanders, which is, I don't think it's going to taste good.
Does it look pretty?
Based on the internet. Yeah, I grabbed it from work because it was like a rare, like fuzzy leaf tomato. And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, I'll just see how this turns out. And then I took it home and Googled it. And like a lot of the reviews online are like, this does not taste good. It's an ornamental tomato.
Hey, but again, figure out what your use is.
Yeah.
Maybe you just want a good looking tomato.
Exactly.
Okay, Hannah W., she says, can you put any ground cover under a spruce tree? All the ground covers that do well here seem to need full sun, right? Will anything ever grow? So she's looking for specifically, obviously, a very shaded area under a spruce tree.
So this is another situation where it does depend on how much light we're talking. Like whether, if this area is in total darkness all day long, probably not going to, not much is probably going to grow under there.
Yeah.
If it's the kind of spruce tree where the lower limbs are high enough that it's getting some sun underneath, You can do ground covers like creeping Oregon grape. It's also called barberry sometimes. Periwinkle is really popular here, and they like blossom in really cute purple flowers in the middle of the summer. Another plant called kinnikinnick. These are all, by the way, also off of a CSU extension list of recommendations. But yeah, I would say if you're even getting just a little bit of light under there, there's definitely things you can plant that are native here that will come back and they'll flower. They'll look really pretty. But if it's really low light, it's not recommended probably to just put stuff under there.
Just got mulch and maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Okay, well, I like those. At least there's some ideas. Eric S. says, what do you think are the best grass substitutes? Example, crawlers that are green and kind of sort of like grass. So we talked a little bit about this at the top.
Yeah.
So he's talking about, it sounds like he says crawlers and they're sort of like grass. So we're not necessarily looking for those like low water native grass replacements, but maybe some of those like the thyme.
I was going to say creeping thyme sounds like the top thing you're looking for here, where again, it's like evergreen, drought tolerant. It'll smell amazing and it'll flower. For areas that get direct sun, again, CSU Extension recommends some mock strawberry, some woolly yarrow, some different varieties of creeping juniper. If you have like a shadier area, some of the same plants I just mentioned, like periwinkle and kinnikinnick, will also work fine. But I'm a big fan of the creeping thyme so far. I just planted like four more of them this morning.
This is such an interesting concept. But I like this. But you're making the point, though, because I think our previous question was like about shade. And this is like maybe full sun, partial sun. There's a lot of different options that you can go to that don't have to just be some sort of grass.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's the one reason I have a lot of Mediterranean plants in my garden, because I'm also Mediterranean. That's the other reason. But they do well in this climate. Like they do well with the hot and the dry and the crappy soil.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally. I snuck one question in here. It's from Greg Jemba's wife. I'm Greg Jemba's wife. And I bring up Greg because he does all of the yard work and the gardening. And we live next to a giant, ugly parking lot. And I want our fence covered in vines. And he's planted some. He says he's planted them. And like every year, one sad little vine will grow. But I see vines everywhere that like people have to like take out with a chainsaw. There's so much. Do you have any ideas on this? I need to cover this fence.
If you want some wild sweet peas, you can come over to my house and pick them.
Okay.
Because that's what grows all over my neighborhood.
Really? Okay. Wild sweet peas.
But also, if you're looking for something that's a bit more planned, you could get clematis is really popular here. These are like climbing vine flowers. I think in the first year, you don't get as much. You can also get climbing roses. I just put in a climbing rose last year.
Cool.
There are some climbing berries. I gotta check my books for you.
Okay, but there's some options out there.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Okay. Oh, good. Okay, good. I'm tired of looking at this parking lot. Oh, well, this was great. These were such helpful tips and thoughts. We'll put a bunch of links in the show notes for folks who want to know more. If you have more questions for Anne-Marie, you can give us a call on the All Gardening All the Time hotline, 720-500-5418. Send us your questions, text, voicemail. We love to hear them all year long because I think gardening is an all year long project, right?
I happen to agree, surprising no one.
Well, Anne-Marie, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
That's all for today here on CityCast Denver. If you enjoyed this show, why not take a minute to tell the folks at the CSU Extension about us. Rate the show wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to our morning newsletter and learn more about us at denver.citycast.fm. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. See ya. Spooster.